Durch den Church. People of the world. That's what we aspire to be. The city of Berea. Bereans, folks who listen to the word, pay attention, and then check out what's being said in the book. Make sure it's so. And then believe it. And act on it. Glory to God. And consequently, they live in the land of Goshen. The land of exemption from the curse. You remember Goshen in Egypt. There were no flies there. No frogs. No darkness. Just the presence of God and His blessing. That's what happens. If we hear God's word, believe it, and act on it. Hallelujah. That's why we call ourselves Berea Goshen Church. That's our plan, our calling. And so we trust that the Lord will give you further insight along the way of knowing God's word, understanding it, so you can decide to believe it and act on it. Genesis 41, I'm going to give you a word for a few minutes about the God of abundance. We just got through singing about dearest Father. He is the God of abundance. It's a too much God. Too much joy. Too much peace. Too much patience. Too much love. And too much money. People want to live that part out. Actually, they don't want to live part. They just don't want to say it. If you cut them open, that's the too much that they really think about all day long, every day. They don't think so much about too much love and joy and patience with their neighbor that's ornery, you know. They want him out of the way. I wish he would move. No, I wish he would show him too much love. Glory to God. But they think about too much money all day long. Just don't talk about it, especially in church. Something's wrong with that. Amen. He said too much God. All right. Genesis 41. We talked about verse 49. We took off. God took us off. And talked about a lot of things. So verse 50. Eventually we're going to get through Genesis. All right. And if the Lord tarries, we'll get to Revelations. And unto Joseph was born two sons. So if you want children, you can have some.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible says that there will be no one among them that is barren. Everybody's not called to do that, but if you do want it, there's a God that will make that happen. Two sons. Before the years of the famine came. So these sons were born in plenty. And they lived in plenty. That's God's plan. Hallelujah. They were born before the years of famine, and so they were born during the years of plenty, which means they enjoyed plenty, and plenty was laid aside for the years of famine, so they never knew anything but plenty. He's the God of abundance. If we follow Him and do as He tells us, that will be our experience. Before the years of famine, which Asenath, the daughter of Potiphera, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn, Manasseh. For God, said he, has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim. For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Let me read you some translations, and I may not have to make too much commentary on that. Here's the Message translation. Joseph named the firstborn Manasseh, which means forget. Hello? Did you get that? Whoo, glory. Saying, God made me forget all of my hardships in my parental home. Why is he saying that? I mean, you know, we know that his father, we don't know about his mother, but his mother maybe loved all her children the same. But we know his father didn't love all his children the same, right? He was his father's favorite child. He made him a special coat. And consequently, all the brothers didn't like it. I mean, so imagine living in a household like that. Huh? Your father thinks you're, you know, the best thing on planet Earth, but none of your brothers want anything to do with you. I mean, that's misery, man. That's not nice. Yeah? I mean, you know, because more than likely as a child, you would spend more time with your siblings than with your parents. Especially in that day. And so it was rough. It was rough. It was rough. It was rough. But Joseph was a man of love. He was a man who walked in forgiveness. Amen. We know later he forgave his brothers, right? He didn't start there. It started when he was a kid. He lived the life of forgiveness, which is why he was willing to take supplies to his brothers. You remember the story, right? Because as his father's favorite child, he could have said, Daddy, I don't want to do this. And his daddy might have said, well, okay, well, you don't have to do it. They had servants. Huh? But he took provision to the brothers anyway. And then, of course, they said, here comes, you know who. This is his last day on this earth. We're going to kill him, for sure, for sure. This is our chance. We're tired of this nonsense. You know. And then one of them talked some sense with them. God intervened, is what he did. Said, no, let's not. Let's profit from this. Let's make some money off of this. Let's kill two birds with one stone. Let's sell him to slavery and get some money for it. And we know he'll be gone forever. He'll be as good as dead. Mm-mm. But God.
Amen.
But God. And so this man, and then of course you know his experiences, gets sold into slavery. And before you know, he becomes the in charge of the prison place. Amen. And all of that. Well, before that he goes to a high official in Pharaoh's court, bought him. You know, God's working. God's working. And his master's wife lied on him. So he gets thrown in jail and he becomes a, you know. He becomes an itch. Okay, I better not say that. I guess I already said it, didn't I? He becomes in charge. Let's just put it that way. And next thing you know, he's standing before Pharaoh, predicting what's going to happen, becomes deputy Pharaoh, and he had his chance. He could have said, go fetch me that wicked witch, Mrs. Potiphar. Now that I'm deputy Pharaoh, she's going to pay for what she did to me. He didn't do that. He could have had her slaughtered. And Potiphar too, for not believing him. He didn't do that. Point is, he's a man of love. So when we see him forgiving his brothers later, this was his life.
Amen.
He lived a life of love. Mm-hmm. Which is why God blessed him so much. He enjoyed, he received. I said that wrong. God didn't bless him because of it. He was able to receive more of God's blessing because of it. Did you know that's the accurate scriptural way to say that? God has blessed all of us. He has. He sent Jesus to die for all of us. And so we get to receive God's blessing, as much of it as we want. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Well, you can receive as much of God as you want. So he was able to receive more of the blessing of the Lord because he walked in love. Here's another translation, the contemporary English version. His second son was named Ephraim, which means God has made me a success in the land where I suffered. Suffered as a slave. God has made me a success. Not the Republicans and the Democrats. Oh, yeah. This has very present, up-to-date relevance for African Americans in this country. Too much looking to government. He said, God has made me a success in the land where I suffered as a slave. God did it. I look to him, not to the politicians, who all they did was looking for my vote. That's it. Really? I'll get back to that in a minute here. Here's another translation, God's Word translation. He named the second son Ephraim, which means blessed twice. Woo, glory. Oh, you know what? I didn't finish reading you the Message translation. I just took off there. So let me go back to that. He named his second son Ephraim, which means double prosperity. Hallelujah. Double prosperity. As much of it as you can take. He is a too much God. Too much deliverance. Too much peace. Too much goodness. As much as you can handle. Double prosperity. He is a God of abundance. Why was he able to receive this much? How? Joseph's love walk. He forgave his brothers. He forgave Potiphar, for Mrs. Potiphar, when he could have sought revenge. And so this is a path. This is a path to receiving more from God. Make up your mind, you're going to be a person of love. You're not going to hold any grudges against anybody or anything for any reason. If you want God's best, that's your path. Anything short of that, you're going to be existing on crumbs. I said anybody or anything. Because we can hold grudges against things. Amen. Against airlines who messed up your luggage. Huh? Oh yeah, people hold grudges against airlines. And I'll never fly that airline again. Well, you may not decide not to, but you got to let go of the grudge. People hold grudges against businesses for being mistreated. Not making light of the mistreatment, but you must forgive them if you want God's best. You must. Hallelujah. That's the path. That's the path. And Joseph walked that path. And so as a black person in this country, you must forgive white people for racism past and present. If you don't, you'll be living on the crumbs. They can declare poverty, war on poverty all they want. Ain't not much gonna happen. And it hasn't. They can do affirmative action, DEI. Not much is going to happen to African Americans as a group of people. But this thing I'm talking to you about, and you know I'm right about it. The sad part is the so-called leaders don't want the people to forgive. So they keep voting a certain way, so they keep their positions. But I'm letting you do a secret as a person, individually. If you're not going to do that, you can forget it. You can forget flowing in God's best. Too much peace, too much joy, too much patience, too much. If you want that realm, this is the path to get there. Forgiveness for the past and the present evil. Because as we all know, it has all gone away. Amen. This is the lesson we learned from Joseph. Amen. All right. Let's change gears now. We'll receive our offering at the end of service. I want to talk to you about the subject No. I'm talking about producer back there. I'm supposed to give her a clue, I guess. I want to talk to you about demonology. The devil and demons. Demonology. The devil and demons. I want to peel some of his cover for you. I won't do all that today, but that's God's plan. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Demonology. The devil and demons. Never taught on this before. Said some things in passing, but the time for it has come. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse number 10. 2 Corinthians 2:10. Glory to God. Amen. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it? For your sakes, forgive I it in the person of the Anointed One. Lest otherwise, Satan should get an advantage of us. Isn't that interesting? For we are not ignorant. We should not be ignorant. This is why we're teaching this. Should not be ignorant of his devices. Notice that's in the plural. There are plenty of them. It's not just one. Devices. So, we have the advantage, but there are certain things that if we don't know to do, he will gain the advantage. And the apostle, led by the Spirit of God, says, we ought not let that happen. We should not be ignorant of his devices. The Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. What you don't know will kill you stone cold dead. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let me read that same verse to you in other translations. That no advantage may be gained over us by Satan. He doesn't have it. He doesn't come with it. You have the advantage. Unless you are ignorant of his devices. And that gives him an advantage. That no advantage be gained over us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. We should not be. That's what it means. Ignorant of his schemes. Here's another one. I don't want Satan to outwit us. So it's giving us insight into his methodology, is it not? Schemes, devices. He tries to outwit us. After all, we are not ignorant about Satan's scheming. We should not be. We should not be. I have to say that most of the church is. Here's another translation. The Amplified Classic says, to keep Satan from getting the advantage, so he doesn't have it. No. To keep him from getting the advantage. You have the advantage, but he can get it from you. Just like he got dominion from Adam and Eve. Remember that? He didn't have it. They had it. I'm going to hit on myself there, but to keep Satan from getting the advantage over us, For we are not ignorant of his wiles and intentions. Wiles. W-I-L-E-S. He's, again, he's giving you insight into his, it is modus operandi, so to say, the way he operates. Here's another one. So that we would not be exploited by the adversary, Satan. For we know his clever schemes. Huh? Clever. He may be evil, but he ain't no fool. Well, I take that back. Bible says the fool has said there's no God. Well, I'll go back and I'll take it back. Because he knows there's a God. He knows more than you and I do.
Yeah.
He's been there. Huh? He knows. He just won't admit it. He just won't act like it. Because, excuse me, he wants to be the God. He wants to take his place. So if you want to take someone's place, you act like they're not there. You act like they're you know what I'm saying. Here's another one. I have done this to keep Satan from getting the better of us. Another one. These are different translations. We don't want to unwittingly give Satan an opening. He doesn't have it unless we give him. My. We are the boss. We have to open the door to him. If we don't open the door, he can't come in. Like one Caribbean song I know. Shut the door. Keep out the devil. Shut the door. Keep the devil in the night. Shut the door. Keep out the devil. Everything will be all right. Something like that. If you shut the door, you're going to keep him out.
Amen.
Just like too many times we shut the door to God, do we not? Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Lord. We don't want to unwittingly give Satan an opening for yet more mischief. We are not oblivious. Too many of us are. Shouldn't be oblivious to his sly ways. Oh, I just thought of that band.
What is it called? Slide in the Gang? Something like that? What? Something like that.
Oh, Jesus. My. Here's another one. In order to keep Satan from getting the upper hand, he doesn't have it. They say, now we've got that. No, you don't get it. You want me to go on something else, right? I know who we are. We think we've got it, but we haven't got it. Amen. I'm hearing this too. I'm doing this for my benefit too. Not just for you. I gotta know when I get in a situation that I'm tempted to forget whose I am and who I serve. That I have the advantage, not him. I gotta remember that. And I gotta get this so deep in me that I forget not who be in charge here. So bear with me. If you've heard enough of it, bear with me. Because I want to hear this. Because I've been to the place where I forgot. I forgot I was the boss. I forgot I was the one who taught it and preached it. Hallelujah. In order to keep Satan from getting the upper hand, he doesn't have it. I do.
Glory to God.
That's good news. So that, this is a different translation. So that we would not be outwitted by Satan. For we're not ignorant of his designs. His designs. Here's the Voice translation. It's my duty to make sure that Satan does not win even a small victory over us, for we don't want to be naive, oh boy, and fall prey to his schemes. He has the upper hand. You have the upper hand. He won't get it unless you give him. So to talk about the devil and demons, this is not something to be afraid of. Some people don't want to talk about it because, you know, there's kind of fear. Like somebody, like I said last time, somebody said, I'm not in the ship to antagonize the devil. I mean, yeah, that's just, if you're a believer, he is more afraid of you than you are of him, if you really knew it. He's afraid you're going to find out who you really are. And you're going to put him under your feet. He's afraid. You remember that? He is fear. Personified. Yes. Okay, book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Where shall we start? Look at verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Ephesians 4, 11, 12 now. For the perfecting of the saints. So see, that's what I'm doing. Bringing you information about the devil and demons. So you know that you be in charge. And put him in his place. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of the anointed one, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of the anointed one. That we henceforth, I wrote it all at the gate of this verse, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Bible talks about the doctrine of devil. We're going to talk about that. Body of teaching. By the sleight of men. I wonder where they got their sleight from. And cunning craftiness. Where did they get that from? Remember we just read all those translations? Sly. Schemes. Wiles. Devices. That's where they got all that from. That's where this man got that from. Got the cunning craftiness from. And cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That tells us a lot. Who is the deceiver? Hallelujah. Who deceived Adam and Eve? And tried to deceive Jesus. Remember when he took him on those temptations? If you fall down and worship me, you know. He is a deceiver. All of this was gathered from him. From one of his demons. Did you know every time you've been tempted to deceive anybody, that came from the realm of the demonic. Amen. And we have to know that. Because if we know that, we're more able and willing to resist it than not. If we think we're the one just coming out with this stuff. Remember now, you're not a sovereign. There are two sovereigns. There's the devil and there's God. Everything you think, everything you say, everything you wish is coming from one of these two. It's not original with you. Amen. You're always yielding to God or yielding to demons and the devil. Always. Always. You do have a choice to make, though. You do have the responsibility and the power to pick your side. Cunning craftiness. Tells us about his methodology. That's where these individuals who were deceived into talking about all sorts of doctrines. Talk about error, right? Because if you look at verse 15, it says, but speaking the truth, contrast it. You speak the truth. Pay no attention to this cunning craftiness and so forth. Okay? Look at the book of Acts. Book of Acts chapter 13. We're going to take our time. I've never taught on this, and so I have plans to learn about it, and so do all of us. When was the last time I heard anybody teach about this subject? I remember way back, you know, teaching on it. It's been decades. Acts chapter 13, look at verse number 6. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, talk about Paul and his company, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus. I guess he thought having a name like that would make him part of the deception and the cunning. Which was with the deputy of the country, he's a government official, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. Oh, wonderful. Isn't that wonderful when the mayor wants to call the pastor, come teach me the word. Isn't that wonderful? The governor, the president, all that. That's great, isn't it? But do you suppose the devil wants that to happen? Oh, no. Oh, no. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want them listening to God's word. And so he moved, even here, to do something about it. But Elymas, this same sorcerer, for so is his name in interpretation, he withstood Paul and Barnabas, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. And so then, teaching and knowledge about the devil and demons will help us in our task of getting the gospel out. Because this is our major adversary. When government officials don't want someone to build a church in a certain place because of quote-unquote zoning laws, you know where that's coming from. It's coming way beyond the city council. Hallelujah. They may think they're in charge, but they're not. They are under the influence. You talk about DUI, spiritual DUI. They're under the influence. That's where that's coming from. And so this sorcerer withstood the preaching of the gospel, this government official, and Saul would have none of it. Verse 9. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O fool of all subtlety. Does that sound like cunning, craftiness, wiles, schemes? That's where that came from. That's the source of it. Of all subtlety and all mischief. Do you remember that word came up? So that he cannot do any more mischief? Thou child of the devil. As if that wasn't plain enough. Thou enemy of all righteousness. Wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind. Now he wasn't blind with glaucoma or sickness. He just couldn't see. You can find out what happened here. Not seeing the sun for a season, it says. Not permanently. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished and the doctrine of the law.
And so here is a problem when it comes to preaching the gospel. We have opposition. And if you are unaware of the devices of the devil, we would run up against a wall and quit. If we know what we're up against, we are better prepared to persevere. Amen. That's what we have to know. Bible says in 2 Corinthians, if the gospel is hid, it is hid because... Okay, lost his eternal with it, so let's do that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse number 3. But if our gospel be hid, the only reason why it's hidden, to them that are lost, is because the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Just like that sorcerer tried to do to the government official. His methods haven't changed. We just got to be more aware of them. Blinded minds of them who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of the anointed one, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Like I've said before, if folks could see Jesus for who he is, there would be nobody who would not be running to him. But they've been blinded. Not to know. Unfortunately, the devil has used some of us unwittingly to cause the name and the gospel of Jesus to not be as attractive as it truly, truly, truly is. And part of it, because that happens to be part of what we're called to do, part of it is not embracing the gospel of financial prosperity. Because that's the bait. That's what most of them are looking for. All right, so this man, if you go back, Lord, shall we? Okay. Go back to Acts 6, Acts 13 now. I'm supposed to make a commentary on that. When the time goes, that's what I said in tongues. Okay, Acts 13, verse 10. O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil. This person was a bona fide child of the devil. He was a sorcerer. He was aware of the power in the spiritual realm. He knew both. He knew the evil, negative power. Everybody who doesn't believe in Jesus is not a child of the devil. Some people think they are. I've said that before, but it bears repeating because some folks haven't heard this. The devil hadn't created anybody, has he? Has the devil created anybody? So if the devil hasn't created anybody, God has created everybody. And then my question is, has God given up on anybody? Just because the prodigal son was away from home, that didn't mean that he changed his parentage. He didn't. I don't have time to go into details, but just some things to think about. When he got ready to come back home, his daddy was waiting the whole time. Don't you dare be giving the devil what he doesn't have coming. Talk about the devil's children. He ain't got any kids, except folks like this, who know better, and deliberately chose him. Not folks who are wallowing in the flesh. That's like your drug, maybe not yours, but some drug addicted kid and say, I don't like you, I hate you, you're not my daddy anymore. Does that make you not your daddy? Does it? He can say that all day if he wants to. Now, there's coming a time when, you'd have to make decide one way and then it'll be set in stone. It's not set in stone yet. And God is wishing that all of us would be what the elder brother or the prodigal son would have been and set out and go find that little brother and bring him back home. That's called evangelism.
But you can't do that much effectually if you're thinking about those folk as their children of the devil. You've pretty much given them up. I wish I had time to get it. Well, I don't wish I had time to give that. I thought of that before. I do have this assignment now, so let's stay with this. Okay. I wanted to come back and talk about that. Okay. So then, his current event, you don't, I don't know if you saw this or not, but you probably have. August the 22nd, in Charlotte, North Carolina, a man called DeCarlos Brown. Mr. Brown sitting in the train. I saw the video. And Irina Zaruska, boxing, girl from who came here from Ukraine, escaped the fighting in Ukraine, came here for a better life. Just got off, she'd been working at a fast food restaurant, just got off her schedule. Sat in the train, a couple of, rows from Mr. Brown. And Mr. Brown gets up and stabs him a couple of times in the neck. And casual just walks, I saw the video, walks out, walks into the other, boxes of the train with the blood dripping from his knife. He didn't even try to hide it. Why would anybody do that? Demons, that's why. Why do we call it in polite society? This man is mentally ill. See, that's what we call it in polite society. I'm trying to tell you, a demon told him to do that. And he could have said, no, people who hear voices are literally being talked to by the devil to do bad things. And they don't know that they can say, no, I'm not going to do that. They don't know. They can say, shut up. They have the authority to say that. But they don't know it. And so he harasses them, and they cause them to do some really just outlandish stuff like that. And everybody said, oh, we have a problem, mental illness. We have a problem with devils. And, well, there's only one devil. With demons is what we do. And most Christians don't know any better. Here's what he said when his sister called him after they put him in jail. Sister called him. This is the recording of this. Sister said, at one point, the sister said, so, quote, so I'm just trying to understand, out of all people, why her? Here's what Mr. Brown said. Hey, I don't have nothing. They just lashed out on them. Who's the they? Demons, I'm trying to tell you. They put him up to it. He wasn't even really actually aware he did that. He said, hey, I don't have nothing. They just lashed out on them. That's what happened. I'm still quoting him now. They lashed out on her. Whoever was working the material, they lashed out on her. That's what he said. He heard voices instructing and telling him what to do. He didn't know he could say, no, not going to do that. He could. And most people don't get it. But that's what we're talking about. Demons pulling strings behind the scenes and causing people to do things that are not understand. You can't comprehend why that happened. And we have no better. We want to live in a world that things like that don't happen. But here's where we are. And if we don't know what we're talking about, we can't really help people like Brown. Huh? He's been in jail now. jailing out, huh? Kind of like when the government declared a war on poverty. Poverty is a spirit. You can't help the poor if you don't deal with the spirit behind it. It's a part of the curse. Amen. So this is an important series, and look at Romans 8, and we're going to get it and trust the Lord to give us insight where we can help ourselves and help others around us. For one thing, if you heard nothing else, next time anybody comes to tell you they're hearing voices, whoever they are, if you're a human being created in the image of God, you still have the authority over the devil. If they tell you they're hearing voices, tell them next time you hear a voice, talk back to it. Tell it what you're not going to do. They can't make you do anything. Sounds like they can, but they can't. And that just that one thing will save a lot of people. Will bring liberty to a whole bunch of people. They don't know who they really are. They think they're at the mercy of these demons and voices, but they are really not. And it's time we told them and took this beyond the realm of mental sickness and disease, the realm where it really truly belongs. So that's it. Romans 8. I think we're about out of time, but let's read a couple of verses and then we'll wrap this up. Romans 8. This is what happens to most of us when we hear about those things. Romans 8, look at verse number 20. Thank you, Jesus. Romans 8, 20. Look at verse 20. For the creature, the creation that is, was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Talk about what Adam did and the consequences of that. Because the creature itself, creation itself, shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption, the curse, into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. All of creation is reeling under the curse that Adam and Eve allowed. It says, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together unto now. And not only they, not only creation, but we ourselves, as humans, also who have been born again, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to it, the redemption of our body. In other words, waiting for a world that we don't have to see things like that, experience them. Well, we don't have to experience them personally, but just seeing other people experience them, it's painful. Huh?
Amen.
It's painful. Imagine the pain of the family. It's like you left the frying pan and got into the fire. You left Ukraine to escape all that, and you're sitting in the bus. She was sitting in the bus with her cell phone in her hand. You know how that is typical most people these days. Next thing you know, they didn't really show that part of it. They just told you about it. But they showed the part where you got up, you know. He was sitting there, you know. The devil said, get up and kill her. Stab her. That's what he said. Said to him. And Mr. Brown didn't know he could say, no, I'm not going to do that. He could have. He was unaware of the devices of the devil. He was unaware of it. He might have thought that's what he wanted to do. And everybody, of course, who doesn't know these things, he did it. Well, physically he did it. But where did that come from? How come he to do it? A demon told him to do it. That's what happened. And so that's what we're going to talk about, to peel, so we can help ourselves and help other people. And it's just not on Mr. Brown. Every time you sin against God, that suggestion didn't come from you. He came from the same realm. So we can talk about the extreme of murdering someone, and we can talk about other ways of disobeying God. When we do what God has told us not to do. That's because we had a suggestion from the other realm. And this is where we all live, and we have to be more aware of it so we can be more faithful to Jesus. Father, we thank you. We praise you and we bless you. Thank you for unveiling the veil in our eyes. Give us and so we can have understanding and revelation about these things in our lives, in the lives of those around us, so that we can be helpful where it truly, truly matters. Folks do the best they can, medical professionals and so forth, but we can know better. We can go to the root of the issue. Thank you that the gospel is so relevant even after this many years later. Says Jesus went to the cross and defeated the devil. He is our champion. Hallelujah. And we are his deputies, and we must not be unaware of the devices and the schemes of the devil. We praise you, we bless you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. My friend, do you know Jesus? Oh, Jesus is the answer for the world today. He is. He still is. A song was written in the 60s, but it's still relevant today. He is the answer for what we call mental illness. He is the answer. And you can begin that journey by receiving him as your Lord and Savior. You may not have any mental problem, but you know people that do. And you can help those that do. But you can begin, you have to begin by receiving him as your Lord and Savior. If you haven't received Jesus, today is as good a day as any. Don't put it off. One more time. No. Receive him today. Just pray this prayer sincerely. That counts. That's what really matters. Sincerely pray. Please pray after me. Say, Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord. And be my Savior. I receive you now as my Savior. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I receive my prayer language. I receive direction to join a church where I can be taught these things. I receive direction for the rest of my life, decisions that I have to make on a whole host of things. Thank you for your light and your direction in all those areas of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. My friend, I agree with you in that prayer. And the Lord will begin to lead you and to guide you. And all you have to do, all I have to do, all anybody has to do is follow Jesus. Amen. And follow him through life. He'll give you a tour in life like nobody else can. And so we're glad you did that. If you live around here in the Austin area, when I say around, I mean 100 miles radius, we invite you to come worship with us. We have plenty of room here for you. If not, if you live too far, ask for him to lead you and go there and be taught the word, so you can live in victory. If not, keep watching. You can also keep watching, because we'll be back here next Sunday, same time. We love you. God bless you. God has blessed you, actually. Amen. Glory to God.